as we come to your word, as we come to your living word, Jesus Christ, the word become flesh, would your spirit open our eyes to see him high and seated above all. Would our ears hear his words this morning? Or would our hearts respond in surrender and in worship of the one who is worthy of all? Where else can we go but to Jesus Christ? Who else has the words and the truth and the life that we need today? So Holy Spirit, fall afresh in this place. Just as you were there in the writing of the word, just as you were there on that day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God fell in power. Today we ask, come Holy Spirit, fill this place afresh. Fill us afresh with your life, we ask. Let the fresh winds blow, we ask. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I think I've started slightly high tempo already. I accidentally pressed on my timer 99 hours and 25 minutes. But the good news is I spotted it and managed to resolve that one. But firstly, good morning. It's great to see so many lovely faces this morning and great to see so many new faces as well. We're in a series on God's great big promises. We're coming at week 5 and we've had 4 weeks of content so far. But as a very quick and brief recap about what the series is about, if we can go to the first slide, Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we can allow our minds to be renewed, if we can take hold of God's promises, and then as Proverbs 3 says, if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and not leaning on our understanding, and again, as John 8 says, then you will know the truth. And here's the great thing, the truth will set you free. There's no ambiguity, no uncertainty. There's absolute sureness that as we come to know the truth in Christ, we will be set free. Now, set free from what we'll come to shortly. But so far, we're now on fourth week. In week 1, I think it was, Jamie spoke on Romans 8, that we are more than conquerors. For in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him, that is Christ, who loved us. In week 2, we looked at God works all things together for good. Again, Romans 8, you'll see a theme growing shortly. And then we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Last week, Jamie spoke on James chapter 1, I think, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And this week, we come into our fourth one. We're back in Romans 8. There's a bit of a theme and a pattern here, but we're going to be looking at Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Let me read them to you. It says this, and I'm reading them today. All the verses are from the ESV, the English Standard Version. And it says this, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, those who are new to the series, what we've been doing is we've been going through a pattern of looking at the if. What are the conditions that we find in the scripture? Then we're looking at the then. So what does that mean? And then lastly, we looking at the challenges, the buts, as they like to be known, that disqualify us or disempower us from standing on the truth. So let's go through that. So what is the condition in this passage? Well, the condition is simply, if you are in Christ our Lord. We're seeing at the end of verse 39. If you are in Christ our Lord, but what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean to be in Christ? That's not a question, well it is, but it's not one necessarily to be answered. And I want to pick up on a few verses that really highlight this. If I first go to Galatians 3, it says in verse 26, and there's a lot of verses today, I don't apologize, this word is based on God's truth and we're going to share a lot of it this morning. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when we say we are in Christ, what we're saying, we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ Jesus. And in doing so, we now take on into our bodies something of Christ, both of his death and resurrection, and something of the life that we have now through Christ. It goes on to say in verse 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You see, if we are in Christ, we are no longer who we used to be before we were in Christ. We are now a new creation. And again, the third one, if you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. If you are in Christ, you have been washed. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. You have been sanctified, made holy, set apart in Christ. You have been justified in Christ. You no longer have to do it in your own strength because Christ, who is in you, has done it for you. And here's the great thing. If you are in Christ, you have now received that deposit of his Holy Spirit in you. You see, all who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, who proclaim with their lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, who believe in the resurrection of Christ, have received the Holy Spirit. So this morning, if you are in Christ, and I believe that most, if not all of us are, you have been baptized in Christ through the Spirit. You are a new creation. You have been washed and sanctified and justified in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Good so far? How's the tempo? I can slow down a little bit. My wife's saying, slow down, slow down. 18 minutes, slow down. Okay. So that was the easy bit. So coming back to the next slide. If you are in Christ, that is the condition. Okay, so what's next? What does this promise really offer us? What do I and you get for this? Well, here we go. Firstly, and very simply, at a very surface level, God really does love us. God loves us. I could almost stop the message there and say, God loves us and we cannot be separated from his love. I know that sounds simple because it is simple. Because we are in Christ, we have been shown love, we stand in love, we are in love with the one who loves us. But let's perhaps go a little bit more. It says that we cannot be separated from his love. And there's about six or seven things that we hear. You see, if we click the next slide, you see, we cannot be separated from God's love by anything that is physical, life or death. I think of my great friend Dave, who passed recently. He is now in Christ and in the love of Christ. Death cannot separate you from God's love. Our physical well-being cannot separate us from the love of God. Likewise, angels and rulers, we cannot be spiritually separated from the love of God. Nothing on the authorities on the world below or in the heavens above can separate us from the love of God. It goes on to say things present or things to come. Nothing in our present or in our future can separate you and I from the love of God. Nothing above in the heavens, nothing below, in all that is below. In fact, it goes on to say, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. So I ask the question, if nothing physical, nothing spiritual, nothing present, nothing future, nothing above, nothing below, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God, what can? To which the only obvious answer is nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But I want to pause here and ask a question. What's so amazing and special about the love of God? What is it that is so incredible that we can't be separated from it and God wants us to have more of it? And I just want to pick up probably a few things. There's a Hebrew word. The word is chesed or chesed. I'm not very good with the sounds, but chesed love. And it's a love that is faithful. It's a love that is loyal. It's a love that is steadfast. It's a love that is good. It's a love that is kind. Often in the New Testament, we talk about an agape love, this complete, unconditional, sacrificial love. And it comes from this sense of chesed. And it's not well translated in the Bible. It just often talks about love, but it's so much more. You see, the love of God that we are standing on is not merely a feeling. It's not just what you internalize and how you respond to it. It's actually an action. And actually, it's an action that comes from God. It comes from the loving, steadfast, never-ending, loyal, kind, good love of God. And unlike me, as I try to love, it's imperfect. God's love is perfect. God's love is absolute and perfect. It comes from his character. God is love. In fact, he can't be anything contrary to love. It's who he is. It's one of the many characters of God. So I just say again, nothing can separate me, can separate you, can separate us from the love of God in Christ. But, and here come some of the buts, because it's easy to say, it's easy to know in my head, sometimes I even know in my heart, and yet I don't fully experience that full love of God poured out. You see, sometimes I don't think I'm worthy of his love. I'm speaking to myself here. Sometimes I don't hear God tell me he loves me. Sometimes I don't see God's love at work in my life. I don't know that God will always love me. I don't feel God's love deep down in my spirit and my heart. These are all some of the common buts, and they might not be for you. They're certainly of mine in the past and at times in the present and even in the future. I'm sure I will wrestle with these buts. But I don't think I should, because Christ has wrestled and has won this battle already. But I do want to look at three, just three of the buts, and funny enough, none of them are those three. I noticed, by the way, my numbering is imperfect. So apologies if you've got 4, 5, 6 and you're looking for 1, 2, and 3 on your slides. Evidently it reset, but add your own if that helps you out. I haven't skipped a slide, I don't think. So what is our first but? But I feel discouraged. It goes something like this. Nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, but I feel discouraged by my present situation, my present sickness, my present suffering, or my present sin. All those things that rise up in me make me think that God, surely he can't love me. I feel discouraged by my life and how I choose to live, and therefore God cannot love me. And I just want to say that is a lie. That is an absolute lie. Let's start with the last one, sin. Do you know there is no sin or iniquity, things that we do knowingly or unknowingly, that can separate you and me from the love of God? We read in Romans 5, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And here's the thing, if Christ died for me while I was still a sinner, then I can be absolutely sure he still loves me now. And that doesn't mean that I want to continue and go on sinning and doing all those things. But when I do, I know his grace, his mercy, and his love is for me. So no, I don't want to continue to sin and to do all those things that I know are hurtful to me and others. But I know when I do, God still loves me. And secondly, this sense of suffering. Again, I refer to Dave, who up until the last, he was suffering a pain and a hurt and a sickness that took him to be with the Lord. And yet he continued to give glory to God. He knew that what he was suffering in that moment didn't stop God from loving him, and therefore he chose still to give of himself and his heart to the Lord. In Romans 5 again, we're reading a lot from Romans 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing with the glory that is yet to be revealed to us. So often we may consider how much God loves us based on our circumstances, our paying the bills or staying well or being in good right relationships and all that being perfect. That is not what God's love is. God's love is unconditional for each and every person here. So if you're feeling discouraged this morning by any situation or circumstance, can I just say God's love is for you this morning. Full and complete. We just need to ask and receive. Second, this power in the butts. But I feel disillusioned. It goes like this. Nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I feel disillusioned by my experience of God and walk of faith. Again, this is one I've wrestled with myself personally. I want to see the fire of God fall. I want to see my church full and alive. I want to see the Spirit bringing people into a place of salvation. And sometimes, perhaps I think God's love for me is diminished because I don't see those things. But can I just say, God loves us unconditionally. It is not based on our experience or our encounter in any given moment. And I want to just say that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That is a statement of fact. For all who believe in Jesus Christ have received the Holy Spirit, and God's love comes through that. And I just want to say, if you're missing something of the presence and power of God, that is a good thing to hunger and to thirst for him, for righteousness and mercy, it speaks in Scripture. But God's love is even above that. It transcends our desires and everything for him. And yes, we want more of him. But if we are in that place where we're struggling to hear and sense what God is saying, he is still telling you that he loves you. A love from God is not based on our experience. And secondly, on this one, and I want to be gentle here, I want to say there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. And I put this here because we're talking about spiritual battles here. I know I, for one, has in the past struggled in my walk of faith, and I'm being perhaps deliberate in my words here. I've been hurt by other Christians. I've been hurt in church. I've been hurt in leaving church and coming to and from church. And hey, that might not be your experience here. That's good. But actually, for some of us, we feel disillusioned because our walk of faith, walk of religion, our walk of righteousness or self-righteousness causes us to question how much God loves us. And again, I ask, if you're looking for approval from other people, from religious leaders, or from good, well-meaning folk, that is not where the love of God comes from. The love of God comes from him through his word and his Spirit. And for each and every one of us who are that member of the royal priesthood, God's love is for each and every one of us. And the third but I feel distant. Nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, but I feel distant from God. Where is he now? And the sense here is that, again, similar to feeling disillusioned that you don't sense him, where can I go to find you? Where can I go from your Spirit? Psalm 139 is what comes to mind. It says, you hem me in, behind me and before me, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high. I cannot attain it. For where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. You can almost sense that the verse here in that Paul is mentioning Romans is referencing back to this verse in the Psalms. There is nowhere, nowhere that we can go away from the presence or the Spirit or the person of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there is nowhere. He is always with us. He hems us in. He is behind us and before us. And likewise, I wasn't sure whether to drop this verse in, but in Hebrews 13, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Now, I say that boldly. We put this in. This is actually a chapter. If you look at the whole chapter, it's actually talking about how we choose to live for God. But I actually putting it here in the context is there is nowhere that we can go to be distant, apart, or away from God. He is always available to us. He is always there for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he has sent his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be our helper. So there's three quick buts. If you're feeling discouraged, disillusioned, or distant from God, all I'm going to say is they are all lies. Let's call them what they are. They are not truths of the Word or of the Spirit. God wants you to know that he loves you as you are, where you are, forever and always. So, what and now what? For I am sure that neither death or life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No ifs, no buts, no exceptions, and the reality defines my thoughts. It determines my responses and it drives my actions. Do I get a yes and amen? We're going to come to disempowering the butts in a moment. But I just actually wanted to summarize a quick so what. And this probably sums up much of what we've said and what I'm going to add to. That God's love is for all. If you're sat here thinking, this isn't for me, this word doesn't apply to me, I don't know God, I'm going to say this word is for every person here present, whether you know that you're in Christ or not. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's love is for each and every one of us. We can't escape it. It is there for us. We just have to choose to accept it in faith in Christ. Secondly, God's love is supernatural. We're going to come on to this in a moment, but God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5. And again, Romans 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, the love of God can't be earned, not by good works, good as they are. It can't be lost by our sin or in iniquities. The love of God is received through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Love of God is poured into us by the Holy Spirit. And I ask the question, does your spirit bear witness with the Holy Spirit that God loves you, that you are his child? Because if not, I want to pray that for you today, that the Spirit within you would receive the Holy Spirit, that you would know that you have been adopted by a Father who loves you, that you get to cry, Abba, Daddy, Father, I'm your child, I know that you love me, that no experience of the past, no discouragement of the present, no disillusionment, nothing can make me feel distant from you because your love has been poured into me by your Holy Spirit. That is what is available today, every day. God's love is supernatural. And here's the joy. God's love is everlasting. The steadfast love of the Lord, I was going to say never ceases. I was going in a different song. Is from everlasting to everlasting. I wasn't sure whether to go Psalm 103, 139. There's a few psalms here. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Do you know, once you've got it and it's available to you, you can't lose it. It's there for each and every one of us. In fact, it says elsewhere in Scripture, and it's not in my notes, about Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, the one who is and is and is to come. That is how we know that this love is dependable, available, and everlasting. And believe it or not, that was all the message I have for us this morning. So I'm going to actually ask for the worship team to come back and the ministry team to be prepared. Because this is a really simple message, as I said at the beginning. The love of God is available to all. We receive it through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, and God's love is everlasting. I could throw in more scriptures and I could pray longer, but I don't think that's for this morning. You see, I'm not even going to give a full and formal response, in so much as I believe that God wants us all to respond to him and to his word this morning. But I actually want to read out of Ephesians. I'm going to give Paul the last word this morning, and then we're going to do our prayer of declaration. It goes something like this. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you may dwell in your hearts through faith. Sorry, glasses off. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And Lord, my heart's desire this morning is simply this. Would you come and fill our hearts afresh with your Holy Spirit? We give you the space and the room to work in us and through us. Come and do what only you can do. Lord, we do come to you for words of life, but we come and ask, Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes and our hearts and our ears? Amen. Note to self, find a better way to get a 25-minute timer. Can I encourage you to stand? We're going to do this prayer of declaration as the worship team then take us. We're just going to fix our eyes on Jesus, but let's just pray this together. We're in no rush, so let's just let the words sink in. And I put it in as if you're saying it yourself. Don't feel the need to say it, but my encouragement is this is coming from Scripture and from a heart to receive God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are my God, exalted above all else. You are the one who was and is to come. I thank you for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Come, fill me again, renewing my mind by your grace, love, peace, and power. Bring healing to my body, my mind, my spirit, as I trust in your living word and your Holy Spirit. I renounce the lie that you're insensitive or reject me or don't care for me. I choose to believe that you're patient, kind, compassionate, gracious, loving. I renounce the lie that you're either passive or place unrealistic expectations on me. I choose to believe that you're warm, affectionate, and joyfully supportive of me. I renounce the lie that you're absent, uninterested, or too busy for me. I choose to believe that you're always present, eager to be with me. You created me. Help me to surrender to your ways, to your word, to trust in your unfailing love. Thank you for your amazing grace, for your mighty hand and outstretched arm. I receive your love poured into my heart through the indwelling Holy Spirit. You are the one who goes before me, who is behind me, who is always with me. And I give you all the honor and glory and power due your name. Amen. We're just going to give time for the Lord to do as he needs. We'll have the ministry team to your right, my left. Do come, and if anything is stirring in your heart, feel free. Jamie is always available. We'd love to pray for those who really want prayer for healing. Again, I'd gladly pray for anybody for anything specifically. If you don't know Christ as your Saviour, come speak to me. If you want more of that indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, I'd love to pray with you as well. But most of all, we just give the room the Spirit of the living God. We start at the beginning, fall afresh in this place. Holy Spirit, come have your way. Amen.